Matthew chapter 6 again, please. Again, we're going to read through our text that we've been using the last probably 5-6 Wednesday evenings as we've been gathering. I know we had off for our Christmas and New Year's, but amen. Hallelujah. Hopefully we can finish this up tonight. We're looking at taking a deeper look at the Lord's Prayer. It's been an interesting study. It's blessed me just preparing for it, and I feel it's sharpened my prayer life a little bit as I've been going through this myself, this own personal study. You know, prayer, again, is communion with the Lord. Prayer is simply this, talking to God. It is you in your quiet time somehow getting away and just shut yourself in somewhere and just start talking to the Lord, giving Him the burdens of your life, your heart, your concerns, communing with Him. A lot of times it'll just be praise and adoration. A lot of times you may be praying in your heavenly language, those of you that have been filled with the Holy Spirit. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet, I would just encourage you to keep asking the Lord to fill you. You don't have to be in a church service for the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You ask, even in your own privacy. Now, there's times in a service we do that. We pray for people, and we want to encourage you because the Holy Spirit is a gift from God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Amen? And don't stress out over it, but just keep asking Him. And at any given time, you'll sense language is something starting to go on in your innermost being. You speak it out, put your voice to it. Amen? If you just stand there and just wait for Him, He won't make you make a noise or a sound. And that's what I want to tell most people or share with a lot of people, is that when you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you better put your voice to it, you know, and let Him fill you. He can fill you in the privacy of your automobile, your house, your living room. It doesn't matter where, you just ask at any given time, and the Spirit of God will start moving on you, and you sense Him near when that time is, and you just open your mouth and speak, put a voice to it. Don't worry about what it sounds like, and don't try to figure it out. You know, the biggest hindrance to be filled with the Holy Spirit is just analyticalness. We're trying to figure it out. Amen. Amen. Or you're looking for such a big, deep experience, can I say it that way? You're looking for angels to come and God to part the heavens. And, you know, it's great when it happens that way, but it doesn't always happen that way. It's just an infilling with the Holy Spirit, and you'll receive your prayer language. Amen. Develop that language as you receive that. So prayer is talking to God in our prayer language, but most of the time it's in our understanding and what we can that we can understand. We know God understands, and God understands the language of the heart too. Amen. And understand that sometimes groaning, that's all you can do because of the burden of your heart, what you're going through. You can't put it into words. And sometimes just that God, He hears that. And that's prayer to Him. Amen. Before we get into this, this is just in the top of my mind. On occasion, being a pastor, people will ask you, can you say a prayer for so-and-so or say a prayer? And I got thinking about that. I know the intent of the heart is right. We want prayer for such and such or so and so. But when we use that terminology, say a prayer for something, think about it. Say a prayer. Say a prayer. You see, religious people say prayers. People that really don't know the Lord, I'm going to say prayers. Say your prayers, Johnny. Say your prayers. It's the repetition involved. It's to say a prayer kind of thing. You know, but what God looks at, true Christians pray. They talk to God. See the subtle difference? And I just want us to think about that a little, ponder that. We don't say prayers as Christians. We don't say a prayer. You see where I'm coming from here? We go to God and we talk to Him. Big difference. Got you thinking already, don't I? We didn't even read the scripture yet. Amen. Okay, so understand, you know, I know what you're meaning, and we're not going to shoot you down for that, but think about it. This is what we're trying to get across in this prayer time. Jesus gives us a pattern on how to pray, but He didn't say the prayer. You know, He did say our Father who art in heaven, but He's really saying after this manner. In other words, this is an outline. This is kind of how you pray, and this is how you start talking to God. And then you begin to bring up the elements that are in this Lord's Prayer, you know, and he said that will help you to start communicating with your Heavenly Father. But in a sense, we don't say a prayer. We commune with God. We talk to God. We pray to God. Amen. And that's what I want you and all and I to understand tonight, is that we pray to the Lord. We talk to God. Amen. We don't say prayers. We pray. Because prayer is from the heart. It's communication from the heart. Amen? So understand that. So maybe tonight think about that a little bit and hope the Lord will give you a little understanding of that. All right, Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. Jesus speaking, he says, "And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets." See, they're saying prayers, who's Jesus is talking about. They're just saying prayers. "That they may be seen of men. But verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet. When you have shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret will reward you openly. But when you pray, don't use vain repetitions like the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Don't be therefore like unto them. For your Father knows what things you have need of before you even ask him. So after this manner, therefore pray you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen." And with that, let's pray tonight. Okay. Father, again, we're just so thankful to be in your house tonight, and again, what a privilege it is to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And Father, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence, Lord, and tonight we're just asking for the unction and the help of the Holy Spirit. Help us to teach and to preach and to bring forth this subject in a way that men and individuals and women can understand the gospel and understand what it is we're saying and teaching tonight, Lord. And Father, let your hand be upon this congregation. Go with us. Go through the live stream audience, Lord, and bless them. Give them their portion tonight in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you and praise you and give you glory for all good things. And everybody said, amen. The subject tonight, a deeper look at the Lord's Prayer, part 5. And let's hope we can get through it tonight, because we can get started on something fresh next week. As we've been looking at prayer in general, again, I always like rehearsing, and you say you're always rehearsing, that's why we never get through. But do you realize the repetition is good for us? Do you realize that you can't hear truth too much, in a sense, amen, unless you and I become dull of hearing? But understand that we've always talked and brought this out, that prayer, first of all, is a privilege benefit for every true believer in Jesus Christ. That's why I brought up before we read our text tonight, we don't say prayers, we pray, because it's a privilege. We can go to our Heavenly Father. We can go into God's throne room of grace in the name of Jesus Christ as children of God with the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, cloaked in His righteousness, in fellowship with God, in right relationship with God the Father by faith in His Son. Amen. We have the right to enter into the presence of God by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we can pray. We can talk to God. We can communicate with the Lord. And friend, I've said this 100 times. I'll say it one more time tonight. If you and I will just learn how to communicate with the Lord a little more than what we are, and we learn how to take our burdens to Him and to share our heart with Him. The little child who's having a rough time in their day, what do? For the parent? They run to the parent, and they'll come, and they'll pour out their heart in about 3 seconds, don't they? They'll talk 100 miles an hour, and they got a burden of their heart. There's tears there, and guess what? And you look at them, and you listen, and you've just heard them, and as soon as they see that countenance on you, that you've heard them and you love them and you're concerned, all of a sudden the tears go away, they're happy, and they run back and they go playing again, don't they? Amen. You know, but why did they come to you in the first place? There was a burden in their heart. In their little life, in their simple little life, there was a burden there. And they came and they poured it out to the parent. Mom and Dad heard them and they felt relieved and they told you about it. And you said, oh, you poor little thing. Okay, we'll see what we can do about that. Okay, and they're off and they're running. Amen? Well, Jesus tells us to be like a little child at times, doesn't He? He tells us as Christians that, you know, go to God in prayer. Pour out your burdens unto Him. He cares for you. Amen? And do you realize that's how we See, emotional well-being, because you and I, life is too big for us. It's too big for us to bear on our own, amen? It's taken me a while to learn that, but life is too big for me. Yeah, we can handle some things in a sense, but a lot of life's burdens are just too big for us. And friend, I'll tell you what, it'll keep you in a sound mind. It'll keep your heart clean. It'll keep the burdens off your shoulders if you learn to take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen? So prayer is a privilege. And this is where the disciples asked Jesus one time, teach us how to pray. And he said, well, this is the pattern. This is what you do. This is what you say to the Lord. And this is how you commune with him. But first of all, make sure you're talking to God. Amen? Prayer is a privileged benefit for every true believer. And then Jesus again tells us that all true prayer is always rewarded openly. The biggest thing you're going to see is an open reward. As a result of your prayer time is peace of heart, peace of mind. You've taken your burden to the Lord and you've left it there, amen? And upon doing that, you feel the burden lifted off your shoulder, amen? That's part of the open reward. And then in time, that prayer will be answered, amen? You know, Jesus said, ask that when you receive, your joy might be full. There's nothing greater than to have an answered prayer, amen? And I think a lot of children of God, a lot of Christians have given up praying at times because they don't see in their mind God answer enough prayers. But I would say it this way. Go back, revisit your prayer life, look it over, examine it, and say, maybe I'm not going to the Lord in quite the right way I ought to be going. Maybe I'm just going and you know, make sure my heart is clean. Make sure my heart is right. Make sure I go to the Father in Jesus' name. And I start talking to the Lord in prayer. And I start giving him the burdens of my heart and life and my concerns. Amen? And thank him. Be thankful in the presence of the Lord. Thank him for how good he's been to you. Amen? Thank him for your salvation, that he loves you, that he lives in you. Amen? That he died for you. You know, begin to praise him a little bit. You know, and then start asking him for the things that you feel you have need of, even though he knows beforehand. Amen. And guess what? You're going to start little by little seeing more answered prayer and an open reward. And that'll bless you, believe me. Amen. But Jesus teaches us the correct way to pray as an outline. And he begins with our Father in heaven. We've talked about this over the last few weeks, but you have a heavenly Father. Amen. I have a Father in heaven who loves me. And he's my heavenly Father. I've had earthly father whom I've loved, but my earthly father is not, let's put it this way, he's no comparison to my heavenly Father, amen? Because my heavenly Father is perfect, and he has my best interest in mind all the time, amen? And his love towards me is not a partial love. Glory to God. So think about it that way. So our Father in heaven, we address God as Father, and we come to him in Jesus' name, and then, hallowed be thy name. And hallowed means sacred and holy. Amen. Remember the seraphim and the cherubim, 24/7 around the clock, are praising God, worshiping the Lord, falling at his feet because he's holy. Amen. And we got to get back to the reverence for the Lord. Amen. In our personal life, how much do we reverence God? How awestruck are we with God? God ain't the big boy upstairs. God ain't just the man in the sky. He is God, and he deserves reverence, and he deserves all of our honor and praise. Amen? And that's why it says, say, hallowed be thy name. Acknowledge his holiness. Acknowledge his place. His rightful place is Lord. Amen? And there should be a humility in our heart. And that's why Jesus said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Builds in that humility. Amen? That even though we can boldly come into the throne of grace, it doesn't mean that we kick the door down and throw our, like we did Sunday, throw our foot up on the chair and on God's desk and say, here I am. You know, no, there's got to be a reverence and holiness. And I think this is where much of the modern church, we're getting away from that, the holiness and the reverence of God. Look at the way a lot of new churches are designed. They're sound stages. It's not the sanctuary anymore. It's the auditorium, and it's the sound stage, and no cross, and everything is dark and black, and they, you know, and then preachers would, I have to confess something. We watched the Sunday morning DVD, and I started looking, and I thought, my God, I told my wife, I said, I got a mullet. I got to get a haircut. Amen. And I didn't realize how long my hair was. I would just get so busy, and usually my wife always cuts my hair. She does an excellent job. So anyway, I got really looking. I thought, oh my God, I got to get a haircut. You know, and I felt by that, you know, in my own way, I thought, man, I was feeling I was being disrespectful. I'm starting to look contemporary new age or something. I don't know. You know, so anyway, so I thought, so I got her to give me a haircut the other night. I thought, boy, does that feel good. Amen. So praise the Lord. But you know, you talk about reverential being, you know, God does care about our appearance somewhat. You know, of course he cares about our heart. But you know, we should do our best to dress right for the Lord and to look right for the Lord as much as we can within a proper reason. Amen. You know, and so don't get hung up on a clothesline gospel. We're not preaching that. But there is something about reverencing the sanctuary, reverencing the house of the Lord. And, you know, especially if we're in ministerial positions, that we have that responsibility to just be proper, you know, and to give a good radiance that of just, you know, without getting too hung up on that, okay? Okay, so everybody okay? Alrighty. So, but hallowed be thy name speaks means of that God is sacred and he's holy, speaks of reverence and honor, and God's name is never to be taken in vain, never to be made light of. And then Jesus will go on to tell us, now say thy kingdom come. And thy kingdom come is really a petition, it's an invitation, it's really a call to arms. We've got to realize that in this world, the powers of hell and darkness reign. The prince of the power of the air reigns. Amen. Amen. And so understand, when you're saying thy kingdom come, we're asking the kingdom of God to invade the kingdom of darkness and for God to visit his people, right? And for God to visit us and that his kingdom come to us and into our hearts and into our lives and into our homes and into where we are and where we work. Amen. And one of the greatest things we can do is ask the Lord, thy kingdom come, right? And then he goes on to say, thy will be done. So I'm asking God's kingdom to come in prayer. I'm asking God's will to be done. I want the will of God. Jesus said, I do nothing except I see the Father do it or I hear him say it. And what that teaches us, our Lord showed us through his life. And he's the perfect example that the believer is always to look for the mind and will of God in everything. Even in the mundane things of life, correct? We are to look for that. We are to look for his will be done. Amen. Because if the will of God isn't being done, then the will of the flesh is probably going to be done. And the will of the flesh ain't going to be pretty in the long run. We need his will. Amen. So thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And that means sometimes I got to accept things that I don't like. Amen. There are times the will of God will supersede the things I want to see in my life at times. And sometimes the will of God is not easy. We found that out in Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, right? He's being tested by the Lord, by God his Father. He's out there. He's got no food for 40 days. The powers of hell and darkness are pounding down on him. He's being tempted to turn stones into bread. He's being tempted to throw himself off the brink of the temple. The angels will bear thee up. Come on, let's see how God's going to take care of you. He'll protect you. You know, he's being tempted that he'll be given all the kingdoms of the world if he would just bow to Satan. And the very one who made the world was being told by the usurper of the world that he'll give him all this glory if he'll just bow to him. You know, think about that. You know, but that temptation was there. And it was in his most moment of weakness when he was being bore down on with these temptations. Amen. But he said, I have to do the will of God, for it is written. It is written. And do you know this, friend? Sometimes when you don't know the mind of the Lord in a certain things, find what is written and stick with that until you get a clearer direction on something. You'll never go wrong with it is written. Amen. You'll never go wrong with it is written. Amen. Because man's to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. All of us, including me too. Amen. All of us. And that's what God wants. So, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we brought out basically weeks earlier that the will of God is always done in heaven now. Amen. Amen. Satan's been overthrown. The cross is a finished work. The will of God will be, let's put it this way, the plan of God will always be done. The will of God is seldom done in the realm of human beings, but his plan will also ultimately always be done. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing God gets anything done with how fickle we can be as human beings and how disobedient we can be at times? It's amazing anything gets done. Amen. But he does. And then he said, give us this day our daily bread. Basically, the believer is taught here by Jesus Christ that you and I are to pray in our daily needs. We're to ask God the Father for that which belongs to me this day. This day. And it also shows us that the believer is to take the approach in life that every day is a new day. Every day is a time where we can see God move, we can see answered prayer, we're to ask the Lord to provide our daily need, and that includes physical, and that includes spiritual. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. And what's our daily bread? The Word of God that I need for today to build up my spiritual man. And then I have physical needs. I have emotional needs. I have social needs. Give us this day that which you have provided for us. Amen. And I think there's a lot of Christians, a lot of saints, and I think a lot of us at times come short of what God really wants to do for us because we don't take the time to ask. See, the Lord has kind of built this into the gospel. God does do things by providence. If that wasn't true, none of us would make it, none of us would see blessing because we are so inconsistent. Amen? At times, because we're human, and we're flawed, and we have a sin nature, and we're in a darkened world, and we deal with the powers of darkness, hell, and temptation just like, you know, even Jesus had to deal with it. Amen? But think about it. Realize that as I pray and ask God to supply my daily need, God has built this into the gospel that I need to ask Him for some things. And God will do more for the one who is asking on a daily basis than for the one who is not asking on a daily basis. Jesus said, this day give us our daily. And he said, us and our. He's plural. This is just not for the individuals, for all, the whole body of Christ. And so he's encouraging us in this prayer. Go to God every day. Ask him to help you today. You're running a business. You're on the job. You got needs in the house. You got financial needs. You got domestic needs. You got needs in your kids. You got needs in your grandkids. Ask the Lord today to supply that which is needed in your children, in your heart, in your life, your daily physical need, your daily spiritual need. Amen. Ask him to help us. Even to help me be obedient. Amen. To what I need to be obedient to. So give us this day our daily bread. Then he said, Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, we dealt with this last week pretty heavy. It is imperative that all of us keep clean, short accounts with God and with men. Amen? And Jesus deals with this in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said this is a need of ours, that first of all, we ask God to forgive us. There's hardly a day goes by that if you really go through your day, there's usually a moment or two that you got to ask the Lord, Lord, help me, cleanse me, forgive me. My heart wasn't right. My attitude wasn't right. My spirit was wrong. I wasn't dwelling on the things that are good, righteous, and holy and pure at times. Sometimes I can have evil thoughts and, you know, and I'm not always firing on all eight cylinders like I ought to. You know, but if we daily go to the Lord and say, God, forgive us. Forgive me. You know, and he is just and faithful to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He'll help us. Amen. Some of us say, yeah, but you know how many times a day I'd have to go to God? If Jesus told Peter to forgive a man 490 times in a day, don't you think God can do it 491 times? Have you, any of you gone to the Lord that many times in a day? I haven't. Probably needed to, but I haven't. Amen. Amen. Think about it. So what I want you to understand is realize tonight, ask God to cleanse you, to wash you, to forgive you, and to help you walk as Jesus would walk. Walk in purity and in righteousness with a clean heart, knowing that I've been cleansed, I've been forgiven by the Lord. And now as I've been forgiven, he says, now forgive others. Extend that to others. Boy, we struggle with that. And really, the Lord brings us up first because you'll never want to pardon somebody unless you understand your own forgiveness. Amen. See, if I don't understand that I'm a forgiven man, I'll never understand how to forgive somebody that's offending me or has offended me. Because I always think they owe me something. Right? That's just our human nature. It's how we think. That's our psyche. That's just how it works. But once I understand my forgiveness and the expense that God went to provide my forgiveness and realize that it took the death of God's Son on my behalf to even be able to provide a forgiveness for me, then I see how serious my initial crime was against God, right? Now, don't get me wrong. When there's things going on and there's offenders that are continuing to offend, we got to walk through that, and that's never easy, never easy. And God knows it's not easy. But yet, there's a demand of the gospel that teaches us to understand that you are forgiven in God's kingdom, that you have been received the full pardon for your transgressions and sin. And it was so severe, so horrible, Jesus had to die for you, had to die for me. Amen. I have to comprehend that. And if I can comprehend that with the help of the Lord, then it makes it a little easier to be able to extend that forgiveness now to my offenders. It doesn't mean I don't walk through the emotion of it, and it doesn't mean that we're going out for pizza Friday night. But I have to work with the Lord in this. It's part of the Lord's Prayer on a daily basis. I got to keep a clean heart. It's not easy to love the sinner and hate the sin, is it? We tend to hate the sinner and hate the sin too. That's just our nature, because hurt goes deep, doesn't it? Hurt goes very deep, and it's not easy to shake. And there are things that you and I have seen some people, the injustices some people have received or seen, or that we've seen in other people, and when you come out with their testimony and they talked about how they've had to work through forgiveness and they've extended forgiveness to the one who murdered the father, murdered their child, you know, committed the horrible crime against them, and they have forgiven that person. You know, that for the guy that just flips out and says, oh, I just forgive, you know, I don't think it's that easy sometimes. But if it wasn't possible, the Lord wouldn't ask that of us. Amen. And I do believe this. Once we learn how to extend forgiveness as we have received forgiveness and mercy, the emotions will catch up in time. And if the storm keeps raging, then I got to keep taking that back to the Lord and remind myself and the Lord, wait a minute, I've forgiven them back here. Help me walk through these emotions, Lord. Amen. Sometimes, again, that's where we need the help of the Lord. Because if we don't learn by the help of Christ and the help of the Holy Spirit and comprehend how forgiveness works, then we become over time a prisoner of the very ones that we're holding the grudge against. And we'll become vengeful. It's just the way it works. We'll become vengeful. And we'll take matters into our own hands over time. That's how it usually works. So the Lord's Prayer is dealing with those emotions, that real need. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And that's not easy. But can I say this, and can I encourage you, with the help of the Lord, learn to release people back to God. The Lord will make all things right over time. The Lord will repay. But that's His domain, not mine and not yours. He will repay. And He tells us that so that we realize that when we forgive, we're not letting you or the perpetrator off the hook. But if I hold on to something, I got to give it to God, and it's got to leave my hands, or I'm holding on to it. And as long as I'm holding on to it, it's not in God's hands, and He can't, and He chooses not to deal with the heart of that individual that did the wrong. He won't do it. This is a matter between servants. Amen? There are some things he leaves between servants. One time there was a parable Jesus talked about, Lord, have my brother divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said, who made me a divider over you? That's interesting. There are some things in life that God lets us, through truth, work out with each other. We always want God to come down and tap that person on the forehead, don't we? On our behalf, because, right? We want God to get them. God, clean their clock. And don't get me wrong. There's times people need their clock clean. There are times people need to be kicked to the moon. God knows that. But you and I aren't a punter. God is. Amen. And we have to let the Lord do what he wants to there. And you know what he might do? He might just show that person more mercy. Because that person has been doing things because they don't know him as they ought to. And God wants them to know him. And once they know him, they won't be doing the things to hurt and offend like they were. See? So the point is, and I hang on that topic a little bit, because I think this is probably one of the biggest struggles for all of us as Christians, is how do we handle the injustices of life? Because it's not easy. And nobody gets an A+. Nobody gets a star by their name that I've come through with. It just ain't going to be. But if we learn and comprehend our own forgiveness, and now as I've been forgiven, now I can extend that. Amen. And don't get me wrong, there are times you may have to withdraw yourself from certain people's company. Because you may forgive them, but the action is such that you could be in physical harm. Your life could be at stake. I don't think any of us have to deal with that, but I could be wrong. There are certain things and people you have to withdraw from, but you can still extend forgiveness. I give them to God. They owe me nothing. Even David said he prayed for his enemies. He fasted for his enemies when they were going through hard things. I don't know if I'm there yet on all that. Amen? I wish I could say I was, but I'm still on that potter's wheel too. So we have to work through these, and these are real things. And so Jesus teaches us to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Then he goes on to lead us not into temptation. Let's take a few moments on this here. Because we are prone to self-sufficiency and even self-confidence, meaning confidence in the flesh, we may need testing from the Lord to break that dependence and bring a humbling on our part. In other words, temptation comes normally, James said, when because of our longings, our lustful cravings, that temptation can be opened up. But what this is referring to, this isn't so much the general temptations of life. You know that you go to McDonald's and you shouldn't have the milkshake, but you want the milkshake. So now you're being tempted. Do I have just a water, or do I get a milkshake? Oh, I'm in temptation. Oh, I don't know what to do. Jesus wasn't. That's really not what that's referring. Now that is a temptation. Don't get me wrong. Amen. I tell you, food is a real temptation to some of us sometimes. But that's really not what he's referring to. He's referring to, how can I say? If we would rephrase the phrase and make it say this, it might be more understandable. And please not lead me into temptations and testings. In other words, that there are things in my life that will take the chastening of God to bring me to a place where I'm dependent on him again. It's being tempted to walk in my own self-righteousness, to walk in the will of my flesh, to walk in the strength of my own personality, You see, the child of God is to be a broken individual that has been humbled and brought low by the cross, but yet has found life through the cross, and it's a new life that God lives in us, not we ourselves. And so, lead us not into temptation, it could be better understood. Don't lead me into the testings. In other words, the Word of God says if we judge ourselves, we don't have need that one judge us. We also find that if I will humble myself under the mighty hand of God, then He can exalt me in due time. It's really dealing with the person that is walking in a puffed up manner. It's somebody that's walking in their own strength, their own religious strength, which has a lot of self-righteousness mixed in it. There's really not a dependence on Christ. There's really not a leaning on Jesus. There's really not even a desire to walk in the available grace of God. And so what the Lord has to do is sometimes allow a time of testing to come. Allow a temptation. He doesn't tempt us. He just allows it to happen. Don't let any man say when he is tempted that he is tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted. And God don't tempt any man. But every man has vulnerabilities in his or her life. And sometimes those vulnerabilities are, you know, it's the old saying, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. You and I are only as strong as our weakest vulnerability. I'll give you some examples to show you where we're going here. You see, self-righteousness may cause a chastening process from the Lord, but when we look at, let's say, Peter. Remember Peter? Claimed, I won't deny you, Jesus. I won't deny you. I'll go to the cross with you. I'll go to death with you. I'll go to prison with you. Jesus said, Peter, whoa, hold on. The cock will crow three times before you've denied me thrice. You'll hear the cock crow when you've denied me the third time. That ain't going to happen. No way. Well, guess what happened? Peter was lifted up in his own zeal, his own inertia. He was standing in his own strength. In his mind, I'll go to prison with you. They'll all forsake you, but not me. I'll be super saint. I'll be the super Christian. I everybody else will let you down, but I'm going to stand by your side even unto death, Jesus. See, that boasting in ourself. Amen. Which does not exhibit a humility, a dependence on the Lord. You see, Jesus knew Peter's weakness. He knew Peter's heart. But Peter was only as strong as that little damsel saying, weren't you with them? You know, isn't that amazing? You know, the Bible hides nothing. It was just a little girl. A little girl! That says, Mommy, wasn't he with Jesus? I never knew the man. And he went his way. Well, then somebody else said, wasn't he a Galilean too? Weren't you with him? Mm-hmm. But think about it. The big fisherman. I'm going to go to prison. I'm going to go to death with you. I'll hang on that cross with you if I have to. You know, little girl says, weren't you with him? Not me. The open vulnerability. That's all the stronger Peter was. God knows when we're pressed, you'll find out how strong we are in Christ or how strong we are either in ourselves or you see, and so the prayer, in the Lord's Prayer, the reason this is brought out, lead us not into temptation, it's because we are prone to self-sufficiency. And Peter had to go through that breaking, that process, that denial. He had to see his weakness and his failure to do the will of God, to live for Christ in his own strength. That had to be broke in his life. You and I wonder, why do we go through what we go through? Why is at times life so hard? Why is it that the Lord allows such and such to come our way at times? Sometimes it's to break us of that thing called pride, self-righteousness, and sometimes self-exaltation. Right? The Lord has to break a man, break a woman down to where we learn to depend on Jesus Christ for everything. Amen. And the prayer covers that. Oh, Lord, please don't lead me into temptation. Keep me from that if at all possible. In other words, I'm hoping by communing with the Lord, by walking with you, by depending on you, that there's things that I can avoid in this life, that I won't have to be tested, that I won't have to go through certain things. Now, even in spite of that, not all testing is chastening. Some testing is just to try the metal to see if it's tempered yet. Amen? So understand, some testing, some hardships aren't because of sin. It's because sometimes the Lord has a greater purpose for us down the road. And just like you give your student a test to see if they are able, if you have a new driver takes a driver test to see if he's competent. There are times God tests us to find out if we're competent for the next assignment the Lord may have for us. So we got to distinguish between the two. So, lead us not into temptation. It's dealing with that self-sufficiency and self-confidence. And sometimes God has to break that dependence and bring us to a humbling of our heart and of our life. That was just one example. Peter there. Let's move on from this now. So, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. This speaks of becoming ensnared in a trap with no power to free oneself. You see, sin in its power, you got to remember, friend, is stronger than you, it's stronger than me. No man can overpower his or her sin nature. And the evil thing is greater than the human strength to conquer. And that's what we got to understand. And that's why Jesus said, deliver us from evil. It really could say, deliver us from the evil one, from the power of the evil one. Don't lead us into temptation. In other words, this is kind of a one sentence and what this really means. Lord, don't lead me into a chastening or a testing to where I become ensnared by the enemy. That I become ensnared to my sin. That I become overwhelmed and gripped by sin's power and I have no ability to free myself. And so this is all in the Lord's Prayer. Amen. Oh, don't lead me into temptation and testings. Oh, but deliver me from the evil one. As we look at this a little deeper, only with proper faith in Christ and His finished work can the believer by truth overcome the power of the evil one by the power of the Holy Spirit. So understand that tonight. Should you and I become ensnared, there's a deliverance. And it's through truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 towards the end there. And it talks about that through the believing of the truth, men can deliver themselves from the snare of the devil who have been taken captive by him at his will. So there's always a deliverance available. But it comes through truth. Acknowledging the truth. We talked about that in prayer time tonight. Talked about that robe of righteousness that every one of us is given in Jesus Christ. That through the power of truth, I can war a good warfare. That I'm loved of God. That I belong to Him. That sin don't have to reign in my mortal body. That doesn't have to reign in my heart and life. Because the provision of the finished work can break the back of the powers of darkness. And if I will just take a little time, understand what the Lord's Prayer is all about, get my relationship in its right place with Jesus Christ, just have a simple daily walk, talk to my Heavenly Father, and Jesus tells us what to ask for, what to pray for, what to talk to God about. In the simple outline of the Lord's Prayer, I'll tell you what, you and I will become stronger Christians, more dependent on Christ, but more victorious than ever. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Deliverance from evil is being made free from its effect, from its grip, from its power, its influence, and its allurement. Amen. Those vulnerabilities, in time, hear me, our greatest weakness is, by the time the Lord is done with us, should He tarry and should He keep us alive on this earth, there will be a day, friend, as you begin to walk in the power of God's grace through the cross and your simple faith in that finished work, that your greatest weakness in time will become one of your greatest strengths. But it's not your strength, it's His strength that has built that in you. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So those vulnerabilities, maybe you're struggling with it now. Maybe you feel, and Satan uses that to make you feel you're a substandard Christian, you're a second-class member in the kingdom of God, that you're not worthy, that you'll never be anything, that your life will never change, nothing. You know what I'm saying? That besetting sin just overwhelms you so often. But I want you to know, in time, if you stay in that potter's wheel, let God keep working on you, you keep developing that relationship with Jesus Christ, and you begin to know the truth and know the benefits for which Christ has died to give you, over time, I'm telling you, you'll come through some trials and testings, but eventually that area of your life will become a strength. Amen? It will become a strength in your life over time. Hallelujah. And then he said, "For thine is the kingdom." Remember, friend, the earth is owned by God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But Satan has usurped the management thereof through Adam's fall. But this acknowledges God's rightful place as creator, owner, and Lord over all. It's really a declaration of faith and fact, even as David of old said it this way. He said, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and the earth is yours, Lord. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of you, and you reignest over all, and in your hand is power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." That's 1 Chronicles chapters 29, 11, and 12. Listen, you need to read that and realize that when he says, "For thine is the kingdom," hallelujah, it's a faith declaration. It tells me that the kingdom of God belongs to him, the earth realm belongs to him, and I'm a blood-bought child of God in the midst of this earth realm. The kingdom is his, amen, and he can do with it whatever he wants to, amen, and I'm to have faith in that. I'm the war good warfare knowing that, amen, that God is in control, that everything belongs to God, even though we see a world that has been hijacked, just like our nation has been hijacked by, you know what I'm going to say, you know, it still belongs to God. Hallelujah. My life belongs to the Lord. I belong to him. And he owns all. So for thine is the kingdom and the glory. Listen, the glory and worship belongs to God alone, not to Satan, not to any other entity, human being, or any other. The glory of God, or the glory, refers to the wonder, the awesomeness, the radiance, and the highest admiration to the point of breathlessness. Amen? Hallelujah. For thine is the kingdom and the glory, the glory, the glory of God. Think about it. The glory is so powerful that Jesus Christ, on the Mount of Transfiguration, a light did not shine from heaven upon the mountain and light up the mountain. I want you to know that. In the Transfiguration, when he became glistening white, and there was Moses and an angel or somebody talking to him about his decease that he would accomplish in Jerusalem. And they were up there and they saw it to the point and they said, "Oh, let's make a tabernacle for Moses, one for Elijah, one for," you know. They weren't comprehending the light. They weren't comprehending the glory of God. The mountain became glistening white, not because the light shone from heaven, but because what was in him began to radiate out of him. That's a big difference. You say, "How do you know that?" Because I read in Revelation that there's a city coming, the New Jerusalem, and the Bible says the Lamb will be the light in it, and there will be no need of the sun nor the moon. The glory of God will be the light of the new world and the new heavens and the new earth to come. The light of Christ will be the light of that city. Hallelujah. That's where the glory is. The glory is so powerful, even John the Revelator, the one who laid his head on Jesus' breast. Amen. He heard his heartbeat, as preachers have said of old. But even John, when he saw Jesus in his glorified state in Revelation chapter 1, "And when I, John, looked upon him, I fell at his feet as dead." I held him, I touched him, I embraced him, I laid my head on him, I heard his heartbeat. But I've never seen him like this. And he collapsed at the feet of Jesus Christ. Why? Because of the glory. The Bible says his countenance shone so bright, it was like the sun shines in its full strength.
You see, when we say the glory, we're not talking about the glory of man. We're not talking about just a good old-fashioned Pentecostal service where we say the glory of God moved. That's part of it. But the real glory belongs to Jesus Christ, who on the Mount of Transfiguration began to illuminate. The light of God shone out of him and it lit up the mountain. That's who lives in you and in me. Oh, why would he leave his throne on high to dwell in this barren land for mortals such as I? Hallelujah. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and forever. This is an eternal work. You and I, as children of God, have received just a little down payment of glory divine. It's the life of God that was birthed in us in the work and person of Jesus Christ. That work is eternal. It will never change. It will never go away. It will only increase. It will only increase. And then Jesus said, amen. Amen says, let it be so. Let it be forever written. Let it come. Let it be done. Amen.